his disciples, "Where is your faith?" I also would ask you to challenge yourselves during this time of difficulty, during this time, a time that we haven't seen in all of our lives. Where is our faith? And I would hope and pray as we go through this that you would realize that the only safe place to put our faith and our only refuge and fortress is Jesus Christ himself. So I'm going to have you open to Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and get that ready. And in the meantime, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen? So let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity, Lord, for us to hear your word and to worship you, Lord, wherever we may be, in our homes, in our living rooms with our families. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would use your word to speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to give us the strength, Lord, to push on and forward, knowing, Lord God, as we have gone through many other trials, that you are faithful. And we know, Lord God, that you will never leave us, neither will you ever forsake us. So we just pray, Lord, right now that you would guide and lead and touch hearts and encourage and strengthen and give us, Lord, comfort, Lord, in spite of the questions that we may have, the darkness that is out there right now because of this disease that is running rampant at the moment. Father, we pray that you would stay it, that you would put your hand, that you would protect us, and that you would guide, Lord, our leaders, that you would move in our midst, Lord, and bring us closer to you through all this. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read the text. And we find it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, starting at verse 35. And this is what it says. One day, he got into a boat with his disciples. I'm sorry, let me go back. It's at Mark 4:35. It says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And for obvious reasons this morning, as we can see, I just want you to note some of the words that we see here. Number one, we see that there was a great windstorm. We see that the disciples believed that they were to perish. We see that Jesus intervenes and brings calm. We see that he questions the fear that they have and also whether or not they have faith. Where is their faith? So this morning, one of the things we have to note is Jesus had long days of ministering to large crowds. And ministry is exhausting work, especially day after day after day, as Jesus preached to the crowds, as Jesus touched and healed the sick, as Jesus fed the multitudes, as Jesus went about from town to town, ministering and sharing the good news of the gospel. It says here that he got into the boat one day with his disciples. And he said to them, as you can see there in verse number 35, "Let us go across to the other side." So they set out. as we see. And having sailed, we notice after he left the crowds that he fell asleep. But we also notice that there was a great windstorm. So first and foremost, it seems pretty interesting to me that Jesus would sleep. And we know that he was exhausted. We know that he was tired physically and mentally. So I can imagine as they rowed on the calm sea that he felt tired and that he saw that as a great opportunity for him to rest. I want you to notice that he was resting. So we see then that a windstorm came down onto the lake. And we see that the boat began to fill with water. And it notes there that the possibility, and they felt that they were in danger. And so they run to Christ and they wake him up. And they said to him, "Master, Master, we are perishing. Don't you care that we are perishing?" And I'm going to imagine and I'm going to guess that for many of us during the last week or so, those are the thoughts that possibly might be running in our heads. Where did this COVID-19 virus come from? And how is it that it just swept across the globe? And now we find it close to home. And we may even know people that are already impacted by it. I personally know of someone that has already perished, that has already died because of it, through another friend of mine. Storms appear to come out of nowhere sometimes in life. And let's not forget that the disciples, at least some of them, were professional fishermen. They knew how to navigate. They had experience in storms before. However, this time, it was more than they could handle. By the way that they woke the Lord up, by the fact that they accused him of not caring that they were perishing, they were thinking that, hey, we're going to go down. We're sinking fast. We're going to go under. We're going to drown. And the thought may even have crossed their minds that they were going to die. And I would ask us the question, have you ever thought that whenever we were in or you were in a personal storm? Have you thought about the consequences of what's going on now? The doubts, the fears, the anxiety, and even the panic as we see people running and hoarding as they go to the stores, the grocery stores, the Costcos. Well, what the Lord did is he woke up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. And the wind ceased, the scriptures tells us, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith? Why is it that you were afraid?" And the first thing I want to bring out this morning and want us to consider is that Jesus enters into the situation and he intervenes and he brings calm to this storm. But then he asks questions. And I think they're great questions. He wants to get, in the midst of this experience, he wants to get into a discussion with them about their faith. Where is their faith placed? So, obviously, we know, because we have the whole book with us, that they were about to see something that would have great impact on their lives and on their faith. Remember, they're Jesus' disciples. They're learning. And for some months now, we've been talking about faith. How faith is action. How we're supposed to respond to the questions that we have in life, to storms, to difficulties. And we know that the Lord would use this also to teach us. And we know from what we have been learning here the last couple months, and maybe that's why the Lord has put us through this series about faith, because he saw that we were going to need it. He saw that we were going to have to depend on him, because we don't have answers right now, but we have him. So I believe that the way that we increase our faith is by having an increased knowledge of him. The way that we increase our faith, the way that we're encouraged, the way that we are strengthened is by knowing his word and fellowshipping with him and communing with him and praying. So the focus of our attention should not be the media. The focus of our attention should not be 24 hours of watching the news. Our attention should be on Christ, not on anything else. So why does he question them, or why does he ask where their faith is and why they were afraid? And I think it's because, number one, he had already given them a promise. Remember at the beginning of this passage, at verse 35, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." So what he gave them was his word. And what we have today is still his word, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the situation that we're living through right now. Notice that Jesus didn't say, "Hey, let us go to the other side and we're going to sink in the middle of the journey. And we're going to drown." No, he didn't say that. Jesus also didn't say, "Oh, hey, wow, what a storm. Hey, give me a bucket and let me help you bail out of this one." No, he asked the question, "Where is your faith?" See, the storm did not disturb Jesus. He was asleep. What disturbed him was the unbelief of his disciples. They weren't really listening, were they? Consider carefully how you listen to and what you do when you hear God's word. Remember what I said? Let us go across to the other side. We're going to make it to the other side because we've heard it from his mouth. And the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Say that to yourself. Let us go across to the other side. Notice that it's Jesus that directs the course of action. Notice that it is Jesus' idea to go on this journey. Notice that it's Jesus that proposes going out onto the sea or the lake, Galilee. His disciples were given instructions to go from point A to point B. And when he sends us on a journey, when he puts us on a path, he'll provide for us and he will accompany us. See, the life of faith is one in which those of us that are followers of Jesus, we hear his word, we believe it, and we keep it. And that's what we should do right now in the situation that we're currently living in. Jesus spoke his word then, and he communicated to his disciple his will. Let us go across the other side. He said, "We're going over." So why does he then question their faith when they were afraid? Because he also gave them something very valuable: his presence. So not only do they have his promise and his word, but they have his presence. He's with them in the boat. Oh, yeah, he's asleep. He's resting. But I'm going to believe that he's resting because he knows that God the Father, who sent him on a mission, also was in control. But this is the point I'd like to get. He questions their faith because he's present. He's there. He's saying, "If I'm with you, you're okay. If Jesus is in the boat, all is well." He told us in another section, I will never leave you or forsake you. So when we speak of God's omnipresence, which is a theological word, and what it literally means, and it's simple to understand, is that His presence is in all places. That means that there's no place where God is not present. This doctrine, to me, proves to be comforting, and it should be for us. This means that we can always be certain of God's undivided attention. We never need to stand in line or make an appointment to be with God because He's with us. Jeremiah chapter 23 reminds us of this at verses 23 and 24, and it says this, Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? You see, the Lord sees you there quarantined in your homes. You're not there alone. We can't hide from Him. There's never a moment in which God is not near to us. So, why does He question their faith? Because He also gave them His peace. So not only did He give us, or the disciples as well as us, some 2,000 years removed, His promise, not only does He give us His presence, but He also gives us His peace. And if Jesus is sleeping, then it's easy to see that He's at rest, that He's at peace. So then what He would be saying by His sleep, by His resting, He'd be saying to His disciples on that same boat with Him, and to us, wherever we may be right now, calm down. Yes. So we find Jesus at peace, even though He knew what was coming. He knew the storm was coming, because He's not only omnipresent, but He's omniscient. Another fancy way of saying that He had all knowledge. He was aware of all things. He understands all things. He comprehends all things. He never learns anything or has a need to acquire any new knowledge. The future, as well as the past, the present, are completely known to Him. He is surprised by nothing. Therefore, He had no concern. This COVID-19 virus did not catch Him by surprise. The church is being sifted like wheat, just as He told Peter that He would be. But He told Peter also, hey, I prayed for you. And when you've come through this, go and strengthen your brethren. The Lord is sifting us. He wants us to know that we have faith and confidence in Him, no matter what goes on around us. No matter if our leaders and our scientists and our doctors, no matter if they can't find the answer or they're searching for the answer, our Lord has the answer. So there He was asleep because He knew all things. He's not surprised by them, but He will use them for our benefit. And it's so true what we've learned earlier in the year, that Romans 8:28 becomes so real to us now, that all things work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. This too will work out. All things work together for good. So He was asleep. Excuse me. We could say that it was the sleep of fearlessness. And someone might say, how can this happen? How could He be without fear, even knowing what was going to happen? Because we could also say that this was a sleep of trust. This is a sleep of the sovereign one, Christ, who is in total control, has all authority, and he knew that the hand of his heavenly Father was directing his affairs, and we know the same for us. We too can rest in his sovereignty, that is, that he's in control. We too can rest that and have confidence in him. We too also can rest and not have fear and be afraid, because he's omnipotent also. That's what this story's telling us. He holds all power over creation. There's no part of creation that can frustrate his plans. He knew he would be awakened at any moment by his disciples, and he knew that he would stop the storm. And what we have here is a wonderful picture of the divine Jesus, the God-man, and the human Jesus, who is totally aware that the storm is coming because it was ordained by God, and yet so human that he could sleep as they sailed along. Yeah, they were afraid after they saw him calm the storm, after they saw him stop the wind. And it says there in our text that they marveled. They were afraid. And they were saying one to another, that is, one disciple to another, who then is this, that he commands even the wind and the sea, and they obey him? You see, Jesus is the God of the storm. Think about that for a minute. Because he's Lord over creation. And what is interesting and what we need to consider, and I believe to be true, is that he's also the sender of the storm. He allowed it as a teachable moment for us. So Jesus has power, but not just with words, because we know when he spoke to the storm, there was peace, there was everything became still, there was a calm. He not only has words of power, but he has power demonstrated. So you who are wondering, or they who were wondering who he was, what does that tell us about him? His acts. He's the creator. And he only not only has the power to calm the storm and to still the winds, he also has the power to calm our hearts and to settle our minds. That's what we find with our Savior. He sustains everything. He's the glue that holds it all together. Without him, everything would fall apart. Colossians 1:15 says that he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible like a virus. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers and authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Let me repeat that last verse out of Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, that is Jesus. And in Jesus, all things hold together. That means that he's the glue that holds everything together. Our lives. He holds it together. Yes, the sea obeyed him. And that's an inanimate object. The sea, the wind, they don't have a choice. But we, those of us that were made in his image, those of us that have been born again, we have free will to choose to obey him, to choose to believe his word, to choose to understand that he's in control, to choose to have a calm and peace in our hearts because he's with us. It's interesting, huh? The sea obeyed him. The wind obeyed him. Will we? And one last thing this story has always impressed upon me, and there are some thoughts that have come to mind. And one of them is that we should not forget in the dark. We should not forget in the midst of the storm what we learned in the light, what we learned when it was calm. All these years, Christians, that we've been in church, in Bible studies, listening to sermon after sermon after sermon, what has it done? How has it built us up for moments like now? It is for this moment that we've been brought to this world to give testimony, to share our faith with those that do not know Him, to talk to people about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He loves us. We're not alone. He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us, and that will get us through. So this morning, Crosspoint, and those that are viewing, whoever's listening, know that from this story, we see Jesus active, participating with us, fellowshipping with us, present with us. And we know that He has a mission for us, especially right now. People are concerned. People are worried. People are afraid. People are panicking. But let it not be said of the church. Let it not be said of those that belong to Him. Those of us that have been redeemed by His blood, purchased with a price. Oh, He knows us. He's with us. Even to the end of the earth. So, church, stay strong. Know that your Lord is Lord over all creation, over all things, whatever they may be, however they may manifest themselves. And then let us be the salt and let us be the light of the earth at this time. Pray for our families. Pray for our church. Pray for our state, our nation, and the world. There are people out there suffering. Share with whomever you can the wonderful Savior that we have. May God richly bless you. I pray. If there's anything you may need, please post it on this very Crosspoint Rialto Facebook page. Message me. I'm the one managing it. I'll get your messages. Talk to each other. If there are needs out there, let's share. If someone has more water than the other person, let us know. We can move it around, distribute it. Let's be there for each other or whomever may approach us. God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we find in it. We thank you, Lord, that we see who you are. We know your character. We know your attributes. We know your acts. And they're always acts, Lord, to comfort. They're always acts, Lord, of healing. They're always acts, Lord, to save and to deliver. So we thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. That we're not thrown about like the wind or by the wind. That our lives are not random. This is not an incident or a coincidence or an accident, Lord, but it is a plan that you have, and you hold us in your hand. Nothing can pluck us out. We're more than conquerors in Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. So we thank you for that. Lift up our faith. Lift up the peace. Bring peace into our hearts and minds and souls. And we will thank you and we will praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, Crosspoint. God bless you, viewers out there. Keep in touch. And we will have a live Bible study on Wednesday at 5 o'clock for the English group and at 6:30 for the Spanish group. See you then, and keep the faith.